feed my family. Can I get an amen? You see what he's doing right now? Nobody asked him to do what he's doing right now. He's going to bring that recorder, he's going to take the sermon, and then he's going to go home, edit it, and put it online so anybody can listen to it. And he doesn't want praise.
He wants you to cut.
But you go to that refrigerator back there, and I don't know why, but he takes it upon himself to make sure there's what in there?
Water.
My water. Rainy, did you take my water?
Where is it?
Did I close the door? Oh, there it is.
I dare you.
Praise the Lord. Let's do the quiz and we'll get those scripture reads. The quiz. I never had a quiz when I go to church. Jim, when you go to church, do they have a quiz? They don't. I like them. What brings forth fruit in your life?
Don't you dare say a tree.
What brings forth fruit? Is it fellowship with other believers? Is it confessing God's word, or is it the Gospels? What brings forth fruit in your life according to Colossians? How many think it's fellowship with other believers? That brings forth fruit. How about confessing God's word? Anybody? How about the Gospels? I see what you're all doing. I see what you're all doing. The answer is the Gospels. According to Colossians, the truth of the Gospels brings forth fruit. And I know what you're all doing, thinking that sounded good. And you know you're probably right. Who am I to say you're wrong? Good one. How many baskets of food were left over when Jesus fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fish? You see, this is the miracle that people never hear about. There were food left over from 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. He fed how many people? 4,000. Were there 7 baskets, were there 10 baskets, or were there 12 baskets, according to Mark? How many things? 7 baskets left. 7? How about 10 baskets left? 10? How about 12 baskets? 12? You guys see? You guys believe in greater miracles. There were 7 baskets of food left. 7. But you see, that's your God. Is not that good enough? He did that. Can I get an amen? Listen to me. He did that. I want you to see today, I'm so excited, I always do, but I want today's sermon's going to be from God looking down. Not from us looking up and reading, but and God did that. Can I get an amen? He fed 4,000 people and he had 7 baskets of food left over. What fruit does Pharaoh chief butler mention when he retells his dream to Joseph in prison? Now this is in the book of Genesis. You know Joseph got sent to prison because Potiphar's wife said that he made a pass at her and he didn't. But the king got mad and he sent Joseph to prison. And the Pharaoh's chief butler was there telling him about a dream. Was it figs? Was it grapes? Or was it pomegranates? What fruit does Pharaoh's chief butler mention when he retells his dream to Joseph while they were in prison? How many think he talks about figs? You get figs? How about grapes? We got grapes. Grapes and grapes. How about pomegranates? Anybody say pomegranates? The chief butler said he was pressing a handful of grapes into the Pharaoh's cup. Grapes was the answer. And you say, why do I need to know that? Well, you don't need to know that, but if you read the story, it's pretty exciting. It's kind of breathtaking what happens to him. And who does Joseph correctly predict will be killed by the Pharaoh? He predicts, you know, he prophesies, predicts a prophecy, and he prophesied that somebody would be killed by the Pharaoh. Was it his baker? Was it the Pharaoh's butler? Or was it the Pharaoh's wife? She lied to Pharaoh. But Joseph predicts who dies, who's going to get killed. How many think it was his baker? How many think it was his butler? How many think it was his wife, Pharaoh's wife? This is so cool, and it's a great story. It was his butler. You see, because he was supposed to, he got, you know, not good. And then the baker gets loose. What happens? The baker gets set free, and he forgets to tell Potiphar about Joseph. He gets set free and he forgets everything that Joseph told, and Joseph's in prison longer. But no, it was the butler. It's always the butler. Come on. Praise God. Give God praise. People say to me, I've never read the Bible. I said, well, that, you know, I'm not mad at you because but if you never read the Bible, how do you know God? I mean, you know, somebody argued with me, Deacon Sergio, about when God was born and telling me, but they never read the Bible. So they're telling me what somebody else told them and then somebody else told the other person that told them that. It's the Word of God, and it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Amen. It's the only thing we should be preaching out of, the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's read our responsive reading. Let's see what Marilyn picked for us today. Psalm 119. This is a long psalm. We could be here for an hour reading that psalm. You have dealt well with me, your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Yeah, but do you? Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word.
You are good.
Yeah, but do you? The proud has forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Yeah, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Because if you listen to God, you'll get the thousands of coins of gold and silver. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's a great responsive reading today. You guys did good, but you read that. But do you do it? Somebody will say to me on a sermon, said, well, I knew all that. And I said, great that you knew that, but you live it. Isn't that the difference? Do you do it? If you know it, do you do it? But we don't do it all the time. How many know that's true? You don't do it all the time. Hallelujah. So this morning, we're going to look from God's eyes. I think this might be interesting. I'm excited about it. I say that every week, right? Hallelujah. From God's eyes. And here's the feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. That's a word that means the word frustration. Can you all say that with me? Frustration. The feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. Another word is exasperated. That's great. I like that word. I don't use that word a lot, but it's really powerful. Exasperated. Could that be God? Let's see, Solomon, how many have heard of that name? Isn't that about he was a man just like you and me, Fred. He was just like you and me, a guy. He had nothing more. He asked God for wisdom, right? Nothing. And he said, God, fill me, just like that responsive reading that you just read. He said, God, fill me. He became the richest king of all time. Of all time, the richest king. But it didn't last all his life. How could that be? He was the richest king of all time. Jerusalem was the most beautiful city. The Israel, the Hebrew nation was the most powerful nation in all the world. The Queen of Sheba went to see him and she was left speechless. And Egypt couldn't compete. Syria, Babylon, nobody could compete with the Hebrew, the Romans. Nobody, because of what Solomon did. He led the world. What happened?
He lost his way.
He turned away from God. Just like any of us would do today. That's why we read that scripture. Because every day we do something silly and we turn away from who? God. Turn away from God's wisdom. What do you think that caused from above, Jim? We're looking at it from God's point of view, amen? He looks down and he sees Solomon, just like you and me, he asked for wisdom, he gave wisdom in the most powerful country in the world, all these riches, and then he turns away. Tell me, was God frustrated? The feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. He blessed him beyond, and you read that. How many read that story, right? You know it's true. from God's eyes. Proverbs. Anybody ever hear that book in the Bible called Proverbs? It's a collection of practical life wisdom in short statements. Those are Proverbs. Who wrote Proverbs?
Solomon.
He didn't write all of them, but he wrote about 80% of them. He wrote Proverbs. In other words, he wrote all that you read and the way the common sense life and then the things you need to do. How to live a life and be rich and wealthy and good success. Who wrote it, Sergio? Solomon. Who turned away from God? Solomon. Frustration. Huh. I bet he was. So God's talking to Solomon. Can you hear this? Listen to me. He's saying, Solomon, I never commanded you to listen. These were not laws to man. They were not hard to understand, Solomon. You wrote them down. You learned them. You taught them to others. Yet one day you turned away. Why? What happened? The great question, what were you missing? God would say to Solomon, what could have mattered more? You were the wealthiest king, you had all the... What could have mattered more? Then he would say, was my hand too heavy upon you? Have you ever asked God, was God's hand ever heavy upon you? Would all the weight? No, of course not. Then he said, maybe I made it too easy. Anybody ever think of that? And my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures of all time, we have it in your bulletin, from 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul is saying, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What's that word? Simplicity. And I love that scripture. He said, could I have made it too easy? Because God has created simple. Can I get an amen? Simplicity. How many seasons do we have?
Four.
Each one we understand and we know what to expect. September, you all got jackets on. Why? Because in September you know it gets colder. So in another month or two, we're going to have winter. And what does that bring? Cold. And then spring comes and that brings a new life. And that brings warm. And then you have summer. He made four seasons. Pretty simple. Think about it. So the farmer knows when to plant, when to fertilize, and when to till. The people know what to do. They know what to wear. September's coming. You go to the closet and put away the short sleeves and you bring out the flannel. Because spring is coming. So when fall's coming. Because God created it simple. He made it simple. The flowers. Anybody ever see flowers? They're so precious, so beautiful. But he made them simple. Yet they grow everywhere. Trust me, if you've ever been walking into, when you go hiking, you see flowers out there, right? Nobody tills the ground, right? Nobody put them there. Who put them there? God. Simple. There they are. God put them there. He made trees. How many know God made trees? What does an apple tree give? Apple. What does a pear tree give? Pear. You go to a peach tree, what is it? Peaches. Simple. He didn't confuse him. He made an oak tree for acorns. You don't get hickory nuts from an oak tree. You don't, because he made it simple to understand, to see, and to relate to. He made animals simple, amen? They live where they live, and I kind of wrote this down. You're thinking like I think. There's no elephants in Connecticut. Can you imagine if we had a herd of elephants in downtown Derby? No, he didn't put elephants in Derby. He put them where they belong, out in Africa, and all that land. He made it simple. He put animals in places where they belong. He put fish in the ocean. How about that? Fish in the rivers. Simple. You want to go trout fishing, where do you go? To the river. You don't go to the mountains to go trout fishing. Amen? You don't go to Connecticut to hunt elephant or anything. He made it simple. The sun rises in the and sets in the, what's the word? Simple. You know it's morning because the sun is coming up and you know which way east and west is, right? He made it what, church? Simple. Hallelujah. He said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. Is that what, church? Simple. There's no, that's it. That's what he created. I am the truth, the life, and the way, thank you, Sergio. Nobody comes to my Father except through me. Is that not simple? Hallelujah. What did Solomon do wrong? He turned away from God. Can I get an amen? So that means you get to choose. That's kind of simple too, right? You get to choose. He doesn't have a hand on you like you're a puppet. So I wrote this. It's really interesting because my favorite scripture, one of my favorites, the simplicity that is Christ. So here's when you start thinking. When religion, gets complicated, something's very wrong. And not just wrong. Let me say that again. Something is very wrong. When a religion becomes complicated, something is very wrong. Understand that. Something complicated is out of the line of God. Amen? And understand what I'm saying. He created simple. So if something is complicated in a religion, they're out of the line of God. They're out of the Word. They have caused something. Can you see that? I wrote that down. Can you see that? Can you see how that can affect life? How controls people. Control people. God never tries to control us. Why should we do it in His name? Understand that. He's made it simple. But a religion starts to get, well, you have to be here or else. Or you have to believe this or else. Or you have to accept this or else. God didn't create any of that. You're creating something to control me. I have to be in that certain building or I can't find God. He never created that. Somebody is out of line. Amen? Somebody is out of the Word of God. God never tries to control us. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you trust Him, good things happen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you follow Him, good success happens. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Simple. Follow man's confusion enters. Turn away and doubt enters. You turn away from God and all of a sudden you start doubting this, you question that, and now confusion. Amen? That's not from God. Can I get an amen? So, but we're looking at it from God. Tell me He's not frustrated. He said, I gave you all this. I got all this going on. And what are you doing? Praise God. We begin to get involved with things about Jesus and forget to simply live with Jesus. That's a whole, you could take that home and read that all day long. We begin to get involved with things about Jesus instead of just living with Jesus. He's so beautiful. His love is so different than world understands, amen? And those people that talk about the Bible that don't know the Bible, they're just fools. I mean, they can expose themselves. They probably shouldn't do it, but they do. They can't help themselves. But understand that Jesus is so loving and kind. We forget to just live with Him. Wow. I begin on Sunday evening to prepare a message for you. You all came here to church today and I got this message prepared, but this message started last Sunday. I start adding and taking away and studying and reading and praying and I pray some more. All the time with you in mind. Let me say that again because this is my point today. All the time I prepare my message for all of you in mind. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All the time with you. You including my wife. My wife's in the leader. My wife, see? I prepared this message for my wife too. I'm upstairs prepared. I know I'm a sloppy guy and I eat sloppy, but when I'm sitting down with my Bible and putting a sermon, I'm doing for my wife too. I want her to hear something about God. Amen? You understand that? I'm excited to teach, to lead you closer to God and the Bible. That's what I get. On Monday, I'm starting to write more and more, and I'm excited about what we're going to share. Can I get an amen? Come on. Our quiz to make us enjoy our time as a family. We are a family, a new family in Christ. How many know that's true? Ephesians, it's in your bulletin. Ephesians 1 slide. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Wow. Wow. You're adopted. And I'm adopted to the same Father, which makes us brothers. Amen? How many have family problems and you can't talk to your family because they disagree with you? Or kids that disagree with you? Or grandkids? How many got friends you can't talk to? But you got a family now. You got a new family. We all agree. Amen? Jesus is our all in all. Can I get an amen? That means you all agree. So we're a family united together. You came to church to see brothers in agreement and sisters in agreement. That's why you come to church, to hear something good about God with other fellow believers. That begins last Sunday with me. Adopted. Let me read adopted. Legally take and bring up as one's own. Choose to take up. You and me are adopted by God. Wow. We're adopted now. Sergio, you're my brother. You're not just somebody, you're my brother. Because you're adopted. Walter, you're my brother. Praise God. The Sunday message for this flock. As new people come in, we add them to our family. That's how Iman came in. That's how Sandy came in. We invited them and they became family. Some people come, some people leave. But it's up to you. It really is up to you. By your faithfulness, by your joy, your church, they are welcomed by how you accept them. Brother Jim, come, we accept him. We love him. We love talking to him now because you've accepted him. He feels accepted. Amen. That's not a little thing. Can I get an amen? That's not a little thing. When you come into this church, it's how you accept him. Andre comes, and you all love him. And Lily, everybody loves Lily. You've accepted her. That's why she's a sister. It's all about you, your faithfulness, your love for this church. That's why I say, call somebody. Say, I got a great family. I got to have a great meeting on Sunday. It'll take you 20 minutes to understand that this church is about God and each other. That's why you should call somebody and say, hey, come to church with me. Praise the Lord. That's how a church grows. This Sunday message is for you. Dale, well, you're good seeing me. Thank you, Dale. The sacrifice that she makes to come to this church, parks at the end of the road and has to walk down and comes up that ramp. That's no little thing. Thank you, Dale. Praise God. This Sunday message, every Sunday, dog is for you. Every Sunday. Anne-Marie, for you, personally. I know when you're here, and I know when you're not. I know when you're here and I know when you're not. Because there are times, and I've told David this, and David and I talked about this, I see you as I prepare the message. That has to be so hard for a large congregation. I'll tell Dave, sometimes I'll have somebody in my heart that I want to send a message to, you know, to cheer them up, lift them up, and I'll come to church next Sunday, and what happens, Dave? They're not here. So I spent my time on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, praying, and I said, have this message I want to share. And it's not that they're bad people, they just went off and did something. You understand, amen, what I'm saying? Because we all have life, and I know Jenny and Norman, they're going to go camping, they're going to go to Canada. They can't be in church and be in Canada at the same time. Andre, when he goes to Canada, he can't do it. So when they're gone, we pray for them because our family is not together, amen? But I want you all to understand when you're in Canada, when you're camping, when you're anywhere, that your pastor is preaching for something for you today. Your church, personally, you're missed in church. David, you could speak better to me than this, but I remember Cindy, David's wife Cindy, went to a church. She was faithful to church. She loved her Catholic church. But she'd go to that church and she'd come here afterwards and she'd be frustrated with David. You know why? Y'all like each other. Y'all know each other. David, am I lying? Y'all talking to one another. We go downstairs and you're all hugging and you don't want to leave. She went to the same church. She couldn't tell you the person two rows in front of her what their name was. She couldn't tell you the person behind them two rows what their name was. Because when it was over, out the door. She was faithful to her church, yet she didn't have a family there. She came here and she saw David. She said, look, okay, we don't have 1,000 people, 500 people. Sometimes we don't have 50 people. But she'll say, look, why is everybody still here? Church is over and you're all standing in the aisle, talking to this one, talking to that one. She truly was frustrated. She wasn't angry. She just said, why isn't it? I don't know the people in my... And the church was full. How many know St. Mary's is full? Well, good. Praise the Lord. But they don't know each other. That's not the same family. They're locked into a denomination. They call that their family. But she didn't know... I think it's just amazing. I know when you're here and when you're not. A As I prepare, I see you. That has to be so hard for a large congregation. Let them be, so this is the key. I want you to understand. That's a blessing for us. As your pastor, and I know David, and I'm Chuck Mellon, do we want 75 people on a Sunday? Yes. But I want 75 people who know each other, who become family. When they come in here, you accept them. That's where Sandy comes. She loves, she comes from Stratford. There's a lot of churches between here and Stratford, but she comes here because she loves y'all, and you love her. I want that, so you invite people to come, and you grow in a church, your church. You understand that a 20-minute meal that takes a week to prepare for you, God's children. When I'm up here preaching and I got all these notes, it took me a week to put it in crossing the throat. But I did it for you out of love. I'm not telling you to look at me. I'm called to be a pastor, and I love being a pastor, and it's important to me what I do. But I just want you to know that this 20-minute sermon takes a week to prepare for you. And I see each and every one of you sitting here. And I wrote this song years ago, the way that God intended it to be. Greg, remember that song? I wrote that because it's the way that God intended it to be. A church where you matter. Can I get an amen? A church where you're missed when you're not there. Can you imagine that? Now, we don't miss your money, your paycheck. We don't miss your tithing. We miss you. Tithing is between you and God. See it from God's eyes. Frustration. Listen to this. You'll get this. It's maybe a different way to explain it. He tried commandments. How many? Ten. What did he say? I have 50. Oh, I have 10 commandments. You didn't see that movie. Yeah. What was his name? He's a funny guy. I loved him.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah. Mel Brooks did the movie with him. And he's got 3 tablets with 15 commandments on it. He's walking down. He trips and drops one. I have 50. Oh, broke one. I have 10 commandments. He tried that. He tried parting the Red Sea. How many believe that he did that? Do you really? Do you really? He parted the Red Sea. I can't do the Housatonic River. He sent food from heaven, manna from heaven, that fed everybody. He got water from a rock. I can't do that. Yet, nope. The people of them, Jesus said, nope, Father, they're still not with you. Okay, let me try something else. So he splits the ground with Moses. He split the ground, splits open, and people fall in and die from disobedience. Imagine that. You're with everybody. You're traveling to the promised land. You're all fighting and disobedience. And one day God says, that's enough, and splits the ground. People fall in and close them up again out of disobedience. Then he shakes the earth with his voice, and he comes on the mountain with fog and clouds, and he says to them, nobody touch that mountain unless you die. They couldn't even touch the mountain unless they died. Fire and smoke. His voice shook the mountain. Jesus said, nope, didn't work, Dad. They saw that, but they're not. Then they tried, God tried something else with you. The story of Jonah in the belly of the big fish. David, history. You've got history in this book. You can look it up. King Nebuchadnezzar. All these kings, they're real kings. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Good and bad. When it was good, it was great. When it was bad, it's not good. There it is. You can read history. The story of Jonah, history, kings. When they follow God, good things happen. When they turned away, not so good. You say, but if they don't read your word, they will never know except that someone teach them. Let someone teach them. Follow God. Good things happen. When they turn away, not so great. No. Somebody has to lead them and inspire them. Make them feel your love. Create a new family in Christ. Not out of fear, but out of love. How many were afraid years if you missed Sundays, one Sunday, you're going to hell? How many, that's what I learned. If I didn't go to church on Sunday, it was called a mortal sin. And if I went and confessed that to the Monsignor up there, I was doing confession for 10 minutes. 15 to 25 Our Fathers, because missing church on a Sunday was a mortal sin. It's not in here, amen? But that's what they see. They had to do that to control you. See, God never tried to control me. He made it simple, but all of a sudden there were new rules that weren't in the Bible. How many know that's true? I'm just telling the truth. Out of fear, but not out of love. I spend my time in this sermon for you and for my wife. It's out of love. I love what I do. And I love preaching the word to you, and the fact that you come and get fed makes my heart happy. Reading and studying and praying out of love. We have a chance each week to see the hand of God move. Understand that. You have a chance every week to see the hand of God move. When Andre goes to Canada, we pray for him and he comes back and we say, thank you, Lord. God's hand moved, amen? He saw traffic. He went miles and miles and miles and miles, and there he sits. Did not God have his hand on him?
Yeah.
Is that not enough? Praise God. That's why we need to talk about it more. The hand of God moved in this church, your church. The way that God tells us to do. It's one word. It's a very interesting word. Because I know I have friends who say, I watch Christian TV. Anybody know those people? Oh, I stay home and I watch Christian TV. I said, that's good, dude. I think that's good. You watch some of the people. I know that I do too. Watch Christian TV. But is that what God tells us to do in the Bible? Oh, watch a lot of Christian TV? No. You do that because you want to hear something good from somebody you believe because you're a believer. But did he tell us that that was? No. What did he tell us? The word is fellowship. Look around and see everybody. This is called fellowship. Do not forget to go and fellowship. Fellowship. Companionship. Friendly association. A group of people meeting to pursue a same shared interest. Amen? That's fellowship. He said to not forego what church? Fellowship. He made it easy. Simple. We make it hard. People make it hard. Churches make it hard. Why? So I go back to Proverbs just for a minute in one book. How many books? One book. It's an owner's manual. Anybody have an owner's manual in your car? Anything in an owner's manual in your car? If you have an owner's manual and you know what's in it, does that mean you never have problems? No. That means when a problem arises, you have a way of fixing it. That's called an owner's manual. To get when something happens, you open it up and there you find it. My son David, Doreen's son David, he has a company that he has to drive all over the country with this stuff that he's doing, the doctors with it. And his truck, he said, they give him the worst truck. And every time something happens to the truck, he's got to bring it here and get it fixed, bring it there again. He got so frustrated. He's so cool like that he went to the auto parts place, looked up on a manual how to fix it, bought the tools that he needed, went out, and guess what he did? He fixed it. Because he had the owner's manual. You have the owner's manual right here in Paul Proverbs in one book. How to avoid problems because things can and will rise up and they're not commandments, but godly wisdom. He's tried everything, and he's not stopping, I hope. I know he won't. He prayed to you. He's tried everything. You see it from God's point of view sometimes. You see it from a church's point of view sometimes, from a pastor's point of view, that every week I put together a sermon. When I go home tonight, I'll start on the sermon for next week. Something I read might move me. And it takes a while. Sometimes God will stop me on a Wednesday for something I wanted to preach. He said, that's really good, but that's not what I want to preach. And I have to be open to that. If I have an idea, maybe my idea is wrong. Yeah, I get wrong sometimes. And he'll say, no, that's a good idea, but this is what I want. And so all week long, when you guys are having all that thing, I'm at my desk writing. My wife will tell you, I'm writing and reading and writing because I have a message for you from God. That's my whole thing that I'm doing from you. And even for my wife, I want her to hear a message from God that makes sense to her. Because she knows me too well. She knows that I'm going to spill food on the floor. She knows that I'm driving too fast or too slow. I don't blow my horn enough. No, it's the truth, because we're all different. So when I come here and stand up here and put something together, I need it to mean something to her too. That's called love. He made it easy, we make it hard. And here's some of the things in Proverbs. Stay with me now, ready? Idleness, laziness, justice, helpfulness, cheerfulness, common sense, knowledge, morality, self-control. There's one for you. Self-control. You make pro-choice. Maybe you should use some self-control.
All right,
there you go. Ooh, I'm not saying nothing hateful, Greg. I'm just saying if you're pro-choice, that's great, but use some self-control. A little morality might help a little bit, amen? Because, listen, you're not looking at anybody perfect standing up here. I'm raising my hand, amen? How many have all failed? I've failed more times than I've, but see, you learn that. See, you've got to use self-control. Knowledge, morality, among brothers and sisters together. I like watching it on TV, but that's not fellowship. So you want to be with brothers and sisters together where you matter and where everybody knows your name. That, my brothers and sisters, is the message, and that is the simplicity of Christ. He made it easy. Four seasons to understand. All the things created for you, easy. That sun rises in the east every day and sets in the west every day. You don't have to think about it. He loves you beyond. Just trust him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and he will give you the desires of your heart. His path will lead you to victory. His path will lead you to good success. Just think of Solomon. He was the greatest of all greatest. He was the most richest man when he followed God. When he didn't, not good. He's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to just trust him. Trust him. And believe him. Give him praise this morning. Sister Faith and Greg are a little bit under the weather, and she doesn't want to share her germs with anybody. That's why she's home today. So when you see her next Sunday, you thank her for caring enough about you. Amen? I think that's a beautiful thing when she calls and says, thank you, Lord. Simple. Simple. He didn't go through a big all kinds of things with all kinds of incense and all kinds of praises. He just took the bread, lifted up the bread, and broke the bread. Blessed the bread and tore it and said, this is my body, can be torn for you. Wow. What do I need to do? He said, eat and do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. Well, we just did that, Jesus. They might not have knew, but they knew the next day when his body was torn. And they understood. And they did it every day after that in remembrance of him. It's not a ritual. You do it anytime you want. He made it simple. He took the wine, poured it into a cup, and said, this will be my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. I'm going to sit on that mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, and I will cover your sins, and they will be covered by my blood. And he simply said, do this, and drink it, in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. How simple was that? Was that hard to do? People will come here and not understand and say, I don't do that. Okay. Why make it so hard? But it's okay. We pray for them, amen? Because that's what he did, simply. Do this in remembrance of me. Jim, how simple is that? When a church, or when a religion, I should say, makes it difficult, makes it complicated, understand that. When you see that, to start questioning, why? Why should we make something complicated when he didn't make it complicated? Why should we add something that he didn't want? What is the purpose? And the only purpose that I come up with is called control. They want to lead you somewhere where he doesn't need you to be. You see it through his eyes. Look at God looking down on him. He's tried every way possible to get people to listen to him. Giant miracle. Jesus did miracle after miracle, healing the sick, healing the blind. It wasn't enough. I believe, you know, God was frustrated. Maybe that's the wrong word for God, but if that was, you were God, and you were up here, and you were doing good things for your, if you had the richest man in the world trying to give your children all the money in the world to overneath, and they were angry, they were depressed, they were upset, they were doing drugs, would you not be frustrated? There's our Father who has everything, all our needs. He said, I will meet all of your need. Not needs. All of your need for the day. What more could you ask for? He brought people together in this church. I looked at two people right there. I knew them from years ago. I knew John from years ago. I knew Anne Marie. And I knew how she was struggling. Anne Marie, I don't mean to pick on you. But I know how hard you were being abused by people you were trying to live with. And John, I knew you were by yourself all the time. And you came both to this church, and I believe that he put you two together. Because you both needed something in somebody. And God is responsible for that. I'm sure you don't get along 24 hours a day. That's got nothing to do with it. God had his hand. And this church, your church, your church. There's plenty of churches, but when you come to your church, it's a feeling. And you go to church, like my wife said, it becomes a habit. She's 1,000% right. You get a habit of going. But you say, I watch TV and I watch the ministry. That's great, but that's not what God said to do. Because you forego the fellowship. You forego the beautiful part of coming to church. Seeing Walter and Jean and smiling because they're just love. And seeing my brother Jim. And here's the thing that I love most, and I didn't get to it in my thing. I missed right over it. I love when you talk to me about the sermon. I love when we're downstairs. I love that downstairs. When somebody will come up and say, hey, this and this. You know, not that you liked it, but something that you wanted to talk about. We did it last week about the Ark of the Covenant. I love that because that means something I said changed your thoughts from daily things and doing out and going somewhere. And it made you think about God. Amen? That's a gift. I love that. I love when we just... You know, I don't want you to agree with everything, but that's the whole beautiful part. When you get, God gives you something he doesn't give to me, I want to learn too. That's why I study. That's why I read, Jim. I want to learn that you learn. So anyway, give God praise, church. Thank you. Hallelujah. 1 hour a week, that's all you do. But you got to come. Let's all, yes. You give love, you get it back. You give smiles, you get it back. You give compassion, you get it back. You're kind to people, you get it back. Simple. Hallelujah. Simple. Love him. Come to fellowship. Be with brothers and sisters. You've been adopted. I don't know how many churches feel that way when they have all those members that don't know each other. How are they adopted into one family? But this church is blessed because we're adopted together. We're all together in this church. So your giving is for each other, for this ministry. In Jesus' name, Mark. Bless the givers. Thank you, Father. Some scriptures get me more than others, and I love that, the simplicity that is Christ. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anybody who believes in him shall have eternal life. That is simple. We take that this morning, Lord, and we ask you to bless us and to love us, Lord. And Lord, repeat with me, guys, the Lord bless you
and keep you.
The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's the prayer of the morning. And Lord, we ask you to bless the United States of America. We are one nation under God. And my beautiful friend, Zippy. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the oceans, like before.